The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all may be seated. I don't know. This is getting to be habit forming now. But you know, I have a message. It's going to be not long. I'm not going to be before you long, at least I don't think. But something that the Lord did with me is when he shed his love over me. Your testimonies, I love. But still, there may be some, because the Lord informed me there are some. I don't want no one to miss the victory that the Lord has for each one of us.
Hallelujah, Pastor.
I thought about when I was in Williamsburg. I was born and raised in Williamsburg. And I worked for the restoration, that is the tourism section. And they had this bus. The bus was free. But they would take you around to all the sites and the little eating places that you could go to. But you know, it wasn't free. Because what they take you around and talk about, you know, had a speaker or somebody, the bus driver telling you this place, this is that place.
Yes.
You think it's free, but if you, they want you to stop by those places, they cost money. But the Lord says, look, he said, I think on a ride to victory with Jesus at the wheel.
Amen. Amen.
When the Lord tell you to ride, I believe me, it's free. All of it is free. Matter of fact, you get what you don't ask for, but it's free. It's yours for the asking. This morning, we are going on a journey. And this journey, if you would ride with me, and matter of fact, you may as well ride with me because we're on the same bus.
Amen.
You and I will learn, in spite of the losses along the way, we all have them.
Amen.
In spite of the failures,
amen,
along the way, we all have our share of them. In spite of the things that knocked you down, beaten you down, the things that we are ashamed of and regret that we have done, we've been there before. God will show you and me how to take the rest of your journey and to arrive at that point, your destination point, abundantly, joyfully, and victoriously. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, he begins by saying, Simon Peter, a bondservant. Now, it's funny how I'm going to say a word and how the world makes it bad. But it's good as far as the Lord is concerned. As far as the Lord is concerned. Peter says, I'm a bondservant, which means a slave. Peter says, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm not just a Christian. We are not just Christians. I'm not just a saint. I'm a slave. God's goal for everyone, every Christian, is to become a slave. Because every slave has a master. So Jesus is my master. And I'm his slave. A slave is obligated to the instructions and obedience of his master. He is also an apostle. Apostle. He sent one to deliver God's message and to people, and he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is a slave and a messenger of Christ. In verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He is simply saying, "I am speaking to all who have received the same kind of faith. So I'm talking to all fellow Christians right now. I'm talking to the people I'm writing to, and even the people I'm writing to generations to come." Peter is saying to all saints, "I'm speaking of the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." I want you to notice something. At the end of the verse, as far as at the end of verse 1, he says, in his introduction, "By the righteousness that's in our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." By the righteousness is in God and Savior. Now, please notice Jesus has two titles. See, God always identifies himself before he gets into what he wants you to know. Not just a Savior, but God. Because Jesus is God and Savior. He is God, man, and second member of the Trinity. Our God is triune in nature. He is God and Father, God and Son, composed of three equal parts, distinct in person and personhood, yet one essence. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit. But the three make up the Godhead, which is why the Bible says God is love, because he has always had someone to love, because he has lived in the Trinity with the other members of the Trinity. So he says, based on the righteous standards of Jesus Christ, who is both God and Savior, and I am going to speak to you now. He now wants to share Jesus as the provider and the driver for the journey. He is a triple A guide. He is the one who wants to guide you on the trip. Abundant glory, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." I want you all to continue to have victory in your life.
Amen.
But sometimes we overlook the simple things. When we read and study, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Amen. And he says, he used a word, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Please don't miss that word. Grace and peace to be multiplied, to be not, he said, not added to you, but multiplied. Grace is favor rendered to you. When I say you, I'm talking to me too, us. God is the goodness, grace is the goodness of God dispensed to you that you don't deserve. You could never repay, could not earn it. God says he does not only want you to have divine favor, he wants it put on a multiplication table of your existence. So he wants to multiply favor and he wants to multiply peace. He wants you to experience the calm in the midst of the chaos that surrounds your life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. He says, "And God is able to make all grace."
Yes.
He is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything you may have abundance for every good deed. So God not only wants to be favorable to you or to us, he wants to be favorable to you and use it. But you're so favorable, we can't use it all up.
Amen.
You're going to need a doggy bag because you're not able to take in all that the grace and the mercy that's been multiplied to us. Well, how does it get multiplied? Notice what he says. He says, the knowledge of God and of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, verse 3, he says, for his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Please notice seeing his divine power has granted to everything. He granted us everything.
Amen.
Somebody say everything.
Everything.
You're going to see what I mean when I say everything in a moment. Everything you need to live a Christian life as God has designed it to be, you already have.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
And it has been dispensed to you by his divine power. Everything for you to be an adult Christian was in your conversion. So if you are here and you are saved, what you need to become is a spiritual adult you already have. Even if you are a baby kid Christian, unless you understand that you already have it, here is what you and I will do. We will go outside of it to get it. If you don't understand you already have it, you will go outside of God to get it. And when you go outside of God to get it, you cancel what you have. You just cancel what you have. In Colossians 2 and 10, he says, and in him you have been made complete.
Yes.
Don't miss over these words you think you know.
All
right. In other words, you are complete in Christ. Just like a conceived baby. All the ingredients that you can see that you can't see for full life, you are complete in him. If you are a believer and you have Christ, you do not need to be add anything outside of what Christ demands or what he expects. You'll see those things in order to live victoriously. Let me say a brief word about this calling of this salvation. You have been called by his glory and his excellence. Let me say it another way. My sister's not here now to use this word. Let me say it this way. You have been called by his deity and his humanity. His glory that speaks of his divinity. His excellence speaks of his life on eternal, his moral perfection. You have been called by someone, somebody who has the nature of God and the nature of man. So he understands God above and he understands humanity below. That's why the Bible says he touched with the weakness of your infirmity. He is touched by it. He knows what it feels like to be you. He knows what it feels like to be us. Why? Because he became a man, but he knows what it feels like to be God, because God became a man.
Hallelujah.
so he can relate to God and relate to you at the same time.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, now how this thing works? How do I get something rotating within my soul? How do I get this thing acting on my behalf? Verse 4. Through these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Wow, that's all right. He hadn't given you just promises. He says they are both precious and magnificent. He says with these magnificent promises, so that now here's where everything gets good. Some say it's bad, but this is good. So you have become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world by lust. Watch this. The way this stuff is going to happen to me, and because we all need it, is because you will operate based on this. You will become a partaker. The word partaker means sharer. Somebody who shares something, holds something in common. You will become a partaker of his divine nature.
Amen.
The divine nature is the nature of God.
Yes.
So you will be able to put it another way, to participate in whom you are with who he is. You will be a sharer in the divine nature. The nature is the essence of a thing. And it is the core definition of a thing. So we have human nature because we are people. So let me break it down, break this nature of for a moment. Mature determines the number of things about us. First of all, nature determines your appetite, what you are hungry for. When you were saved, you received the divine nature. Here it is, in seed form. We received the divine nature in seed form. You did not receive it fully developed. You received it like a pregnant woman who conceives, but you don't see the hands or the feet. You don't see the ears or the eyes. They are all there, but you don't see them. Because everything is there, but it has not been formed. Which is, Paul says, I won't be sanctified or satisfied until Christ is formed in me. So you got this new nature, but in seed form. So if the appetite's not there, the environment's not right, if the behavior is not right, that's because the seed has gone undeveloped. Because you have the seed, but the seed must be developed in order for the new nature to be manifested. So it's some things we have to do. God has given us grace. He's given us abundantly of grace and peace. But something else we need to get this thing operating. Something else we need to get God's love flowing in us, not only just in us, but through us and out so somebody can see. So if the appetite is not right, the environment is not right, if the behavior is not right, that's because the seed has gone undeveloped. You have the seed, but the seed must be developed in order for the new nature to be manifested. Now, this is where we really need to hear this. I want you to receive all that beginning that was said. But this is the point where we really need it. This is where Satan comes in. Satan uses the world. Now stay with me here just a little while longer. to get us to so attached to it that it stifles the seed. He uses lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That is, the world is a system that wants you to operate independently of God. That's what the world is, everything that wants you to leave God out of the world. It's the world. He wants us to leave God out. The appeal of the world is not just that the world is enjoyable. It is that it's seeking to stifle the movement of the seed. Because if the world can interfere with the seed, you will never show the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the nose, because that seed, because development will never take place. You have stifled it when you go outside of God to please whatever your appetite calls for. Because the seed has been stifled by this world order that wants to make the decision to live your life independently of God. And if you do that, if I do that, if we do that, you have to understand that the seed has been stifled, interfered with, and diminished. It is growth potential that we want. He says, now watch this now. He says in verse 4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. The world's strength is in its ability to create desire. Lust means desire. Watch this. Anything you do outside of God is because you want it. You want to do it. It's a desire. There is an appeal on the seed of the word, or the new nature is inside and surrounded by your flesh. Now I'm going to really explain something now that if you catch this, it will be the single most important transforming thing from this standpoint of your sanctification and spiritual growth and all of that that you can understand. And watch this. The seed is surrounded by flesh. The flesh is the part of you that desires to be satisfied independently of God. The world is a system that appeals to this flesh. Satan is the god, small G-O-D, who controls the world. So watch this. Satan controls the world. The world spins out signals to the flesh, creating desire to be satisfied independently of God. But because you want it, you desire it, so we give into the flesh, whatever area that happens to be. Now, this is what you need to understand. The flesh cannot be changed or tamed. Let me say it again. The flesh cannot be tamed, because all the flesh knows is how to be. Sheila, here's a new word for us to put in our fleshy. Yeah, fleshy. That's all the flesh can do, is be fleshy. The flesh cannot become unfleshy. Oh, but watch this. He says, and this is what a lot of people misunderstand. With the new nature, you become a partaker of it. You borrow from God for you to feed the new nature. You will escape the world by its lust. It says if we borrow from God, remember we are partakers now, we are sharers. We have to borrow from God to escape the world by its lust. Oh, the word escape the corruption. Corruption means garbage. The garbage that Satan has to offer the flesh. The garbage of the world you can escape. It, that is being driven by desire. Let me tell you what it's not saying. It is not suggesting you may lose your desire. It didn't say that. Let's say you have been something that's difficult. Let's say you have been on drugs for 10, 15, 20 years. Your flesh craves it. It demands it because the flesh has gotten so used to it, satisfied with it, that the flesh says, I gotta have it. The flesh keep calling for it, I gotta have it. Don't you know I gotta have it? That's how the flesh talks. You gotta have it. You go to a 12-step program. You go to this program, that program. Then you manage it for maybe a little while. And then it shows up again, possibly in another way. And you're back at it again. And it wasn't because you weren't sincere. It was that you were trying to talk the flesh into something the flesh has no obligation to receive, because the flesh operates so it sucks up all that you are throwing at it, because its desire has been stiffed into it and it can never change. He is not talking about your desire. He is talking about your action. That's why Ephesians 5 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires. You will not fulfill the desires. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Amen. He didn't say you wouldn't have it. Because the flesh is the flesh. So even though you may have trained the flesh in a certain area, the flesh is still resisting change of how it feels. The Bible says, if you get a chance, read that whole chapter. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that you will no longer feel obligated to yield to the lust that the world keeps throwing you, that the flesh may still want to take. In other words, when you got involved and the flesh starts getting hungry and needs something, you may have overcome this, but there's something else you'll throw at you. So the flesh is going to be fleshy.
That's
right. Your ability to say, I will grow because just built up the muscle of my new nature. That's what the Word of God has for you. That's why he said, that's why grace and mercy has been multiplied to you. Because grace and mercy, God loves us so much it's free. You can always go to grace and mercy. That will never run out. You gave your life to Christ. You have that little bit of seed in you. But the seed has to grow. And the only way it can grow is by this precious Word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We always call it the seed of the Word. That's what gives you the muscle to, when you get that desire, when your flesh is get fleshy and you get that desire, he said he's not talking about the desire. He said he's talking about your action. And we can only have positive action if we continue to grow ourselves into the seed with the seed of the Word. You're building up our stature to go back and reject and override anything about your desire and what it wants. That's the problem with the world today. They think that just because I can satisfy this flesh. You can't satisfy the flesh. Bible didn't tell me I could satisfy my flesh. It's fleshy. That's why we need to continue to read the Word of God. All this other stuff you may have overlooked about the peace and the mercy, but did you overlook the multiplication of it? It will never run out. But we have to use it.
Hallelujah.
We have to borrow from it. I say, well, give me some more of that grace, God.
All right.
Some more of that mercy, that peace. So your ability to say, will grow because you built up the muscle of the new nature.
Hallelujah.
Now, you have just built up your spiritual muscle, and as a result, you will know that you're growing. You get growing hands, you get your feet, because really become, that seed has begun to develop into a nice, mature person.
Amen.
So you begin to see the hands, the feet, the eyes, the nose. You're mature. You're maturing, getting stronger. For this reason, because you got this new nature all ready to go and apply all diligence. You can't always control the desire. Sometimes desires come to you. You want to know where it came from. Oh man, where did that come from? You feel bad. You crave this. You crave that. And wonder why you're getting all mad at yourself because you thought you had lost out. You're giving in to this thing. And you get all upset. I don't know about you, but I've been upset with myself before when I know I have overcome something and doggone things showed up again and I fell into it again. And I get upset. Lord, I repent. Boy, I'll be repenting. No, God's issue is not trying to tame the flesh. He is trying to build muscle in the nature so that your decisions change. And that's how you will know you are growing. See, we know we are growing, but when you get to a point, you get so, but see, we're still growing. We still need the seed of the word. You will know that you are growing. You will know that you are growing, not because the flesh doesn't know what you want it, because you are now no longer doing it. The flesh no longer has a decision-making part. Don't have a decision-making power over you anymore.
Hallelujah.
So he is going to tell you, give up all diligence if you really want this new nature. Because you see, this is the kind of stuff that God wants to become, wants you to become real to him.
Amen.
If he's going to make you a partaker, you know, we can take part. He made everything possible. So that word slave is good, but I'm not slave to man, I'm slave to God.
Hallelujah.
See, God becomes real when you begin to change. He becomes real to you. He said he did it before, he'll do it again. He says, give all diligence. Don't play with this thing. Don't play with it. This thing that I heard, I want to tell you how God, even if you're young, this thing that I heard on the news, I think yesterday, and I think I made, must be last week, week before last, about how these young people are committing suicide.
Yeah.
I thought about that thing. I forget a lot of stuff, but this thing just stuck. I said, why would that happen? Then God brought something back to me. I was about maybe 11, 12 years old. And this thing that came, it said, you're the man of the house now, because my father had passed. He was 35 years old when he passed. But before he passed, I'm sorry, transitioned. That's what they're using now. Transition, pass, same thing to me. But as long as I know where I'm going. But anyway, my father always paid attention to me. Well, the rest of my brothers were younger, so I was the oldest. So he, old enough for him to, he took me to church all the, every Sunday. He was a deacon in church. Took me to church. And I was wondering, he spent a lot of time with me. And the thing just flashed across my mind, said, you're going to be the man of the house. So my father passed. I said, oh, man, what am I going to do? I'm the man of the house now. My mother's working two jobs, three if she could get a third one, and still wasn't being met. And I had the opportunity, I had to go to the mailbox. And when I went to the mailbox, I see last notice and this. And I noticed, looked out, and the car was gone. Then a little while later, the house was gone. We had to move. And I was working. I said, how in the world? I was working in the summertime. I was cutting grass. At that time, at the most, I would get $2 a yard. But once I subtract my gas and oil and use of the mower, I got maybe $1, $1.50. I went, walked a few miles to the golf course early on Saturday morning, and I was a caddy, and you had to get there early enough if I wanted to go out, because I think the Williamsburg Country Club was about 4.5 miles long or something like that, eight for 18 holes. But that's not caddying for people who knock the ball in the woods, in the trees. And did that. The most they would give you is $2. I walked 5 miles. Had to walk back home because it's getting late in the afternoon. Once you go that early, so if you get back in early and you get a good golfer, the caddy, you may get a chance to go back out for a second run. But I never got that chance. I took the other couple of miles and walked back home. And that miles, I said, well, we got to go to the service station because they sold bread and then I had to walk up to a couple of miles up to the old store and get bologna and make us a bologna sandwich because I had to feed my brothers. My main concern was my brothers. And we had to clean the house and I had to do certain things. That's why, you know, my childhood was difficult, but a lot of people had a lot rougher time than I had. And then the thing came across me, I said, I just can't do this. And this word came across me just as quick. I never heard it before. No one has ever mentioned it to me before. And that was suicide. But thanks to my father, he kept me in church. I wasn't sure about the Holy Spirit thing at that time, but I knew God was real.
Amen.
And it was him. As soon as that word came, I had never heard nobody say it. It just spoke to me, and I heard it plain in my hearing. God said it to me, suicide. Not God didn't say it, the devil said suicide.
Yeah.
As soon as that word came in, it went out. God had a plan for me.
Amen.
A plan that I had no idea he was taking me.
Hallelujah.
It was Satan was attacking, just like Satan is attacking these young kids today.
Amen.
But I was blessed enough to have a father to raise me up in Christ, in church. So many kids don't have that.
That's right.
You have so many things to distract them now. You got this internet. And they get all involved in the internet. And the internet thing is not good to have your child living on the internet, especially if you don't know what they're watching.
Come on, Pastor.
You have people bullying, not only in schooling, but on the internet.
That's right.
Amen. See, we got to learn what God has did for us as adults. We got to instill it in our children.
Come on, Pastor.
It's too much is happening now, saints. That's why I hear your testimonies. That's why it's all, I got my own problems. Don't get me wrong. Satan, he come against me more so than probably so because he know I'm gonna take, steal as many people as I can from him. See, God needs them. I'm trying to build God's army. That's why I get so concerned. I love y'all so much because of the love God shared on me. I love God so much, it's not for a lot. I just want to make sure that the word I'm going across this pulpit will be beneficial, and I want it so simple that they will not miss the understanding of it. I know I come short of a lot of things, but this is one thing that I press God for. I want this word, this living word. That's what I had to go through and find out, God, this is free from God. But then I saw Shara. Oh, man, I can participate in this, what God already has given me for free. All I need to do is to read this word and just grab a little bit of his grace and a little bit of that peace, and I can make it through here. I can make it. This is what the world is coming to. You got wars, rumors of wars.
Yes.
Now they're going against Israel because they're going to steal fights and kill innocent people. Now you think, look, I don't have anything. That's beside, that's between God and whoever's involved in that. All we can do is pray. We pray for the peace of Israel. That's all we can do. But I'm praying for the peace of you all.
Amen.
I told you before, I'm not concerned about what goes on in any other church. That's for their pastor, their leader to do. My main concern is this body of Christ. If we get it, you all going to spread it out. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do. And if anybody want more about this, I gave the chapter, Galatians 5, read the whole chapter.
Amen.
Ephesians 5, read the whole chapter. 2 Peter, first chapter, read the whole chapter. All it speaks of is how powerful our God is.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's a blessing that you need something. You need it bad. And I can always go be a slave to my Father.
Hallelujah.
Father, I need this. Yeah. You know, I read your word, and I said, you know, you promised me this. You know, I feel good about it, even though I haven't received it yet. Because your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, and I have peace about it. But Father, I desire this. You know, everything that we have bought, I went to God first. I did.
Amen.
It may have taken 2 or 3 years. When I thought I could afford it, he said no.
Tell the truth.
I'll tell you one more example. This is how God does things. I was working at Philip Morris, first time I ever had a job, making enough money to support me and my two boys. Even went on a vacation. Took the family to Hawaii. Hey, that was a trip. Hawaii. They want to go back, but I don't know how they're going to get there unless they pay for the unless they do it themselves. And I was there with 18 and a half years, and the company was cutting back. So they asked for, I think people who had a retirement years, they needed age, they would give them the age. They needed the time for retirement. As long as they're close, they would give them the time. They're trying to get as many people out of that company as they could because they didn't need them, and the factories were closing. And they had one says volunteer separation. I signed up for volunteer separation because I was a young one at that time. I was one of the younger fixers, and I'm quite sure, you know, I was making money. I was sure that ain't gonna count for anything. I'm not going anywhere. So I hadn't heard anything, and the wife and I went on vacation that next week, and during that time we were gone, evidently they had made a decision of who they were going to let go because the company had to approve it. And I came back, I hadn't heard anything. Hey, I still got this job. Not so. I got a call in the office. It says, Eric, we have accepted your application. Amen. Only one thing. We will pay you for 1 year, but you can never come back and work for this company again. I said, okay. No problem.
Okay.
Well, where am I going to get the money from? After that year, what are we going to do? But see, the thing about it, when I left, Linda's job had, I think she was working for Personal Lines. Personal Lines worked for Travelers Insurance Company. Personal Lines moved to Tennessee, I think. So she, at the same time, she had lost her job. But you know what? All that cash that we could see, the dollar signs, had disappeared. But with God, we never missed a beat. There have been some tight times. I remember we didn't have money with the refrigerator. Matter of fact, the fridge, I don't know the refrigerator, but the cabinet was empty.
Yeah.
Linda, one day, Linda set the table. I said, whoa, she must have found some food somewhere. I was hungry, too. Pastor Tony, I was starving. And it won't, that table won't set an hour. Somebody came here to hit the doorbell. Groceries came in. It lasts us the rest of the week. That's how God does. I wasn't depending on man. I had to depend on God. And by his grace and his mercy, I had the peace. I had his grace. And we had, we believed in his word because we were reading the Bible then, showing up for real. Because we had no money coming in. And see, that's how God does. So I don't care what situation, what circumstance you're in. God will see you through. That word slave, I love that word when it's connected with my Father. In heaven. He sits high. He knows how to deal with stuff. His son came. He knows he looks. He knows how I feel. He knows what we're going through. And he will French in his time when we really need it. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for everyone right now that's in the sound of my voice, Lord, that you have blessed them, Lord. I don't care what they're going through. Father, even if they haven't read all about the free stuff that you're giving us, they will read it when they read these chapters, and Father, after they read these chapters, they're already reading your word. Father, you're going to grant them, they're going to end this trip with victory in there. Abundant victory. And Father, I thank you for touching each member here. Even the members that belongs to Miracle, God's Miracle Church and are not here. Lord, I thank you. We're getting through this as pure gold. In Jesus' name, let us shout hallelujah.